Eric Hansen had a revelation about epic poetry. It happened one night when he was putting his son to bed.
We had a long tradition of me reading to him at night that we enjoyed for a long time, but I could feel it was coming to an end. He was sort of ready for more adult books, and I tried to read him books like The Da Vinci Code that somehow, as bedtime reading, just didn't hold up, even though, like, you know, when you read them, you can race through them. So I picked up off the shelf The Odyssey. It was sort of a last-ditch effort. I thought maybe the violence would interest him or something. And weirdly, the verse form of The Odyssey rolled along. So I think that reading The Odyssey to my son, Miles, at this time, entered in through the back door of my writing of The Epic of Clare. It sort of allowed for certain effects that you can't really do in prose.
Hansen's debut book is titled The Epic of Clare, and you guessed it, it's written as an epic poem. It also happens to qualify for a much more modern literary genre, young adult book. And look, Hansen is well aware that these two categories aren't exactly on friendly terms with each other. Most young adults think of epic poetry as, well, a chore, something you have to read for the English teacher. Hansen is a teacher himself, and he understands why students aren't exactly champing at the bit to read the Odyssey and the Iliad.
You know, we think epic means huge. And I know my students, if they were faced with a book that's huge and dense, definitely would blanch. And epic also means old when we think about it. So old and huge sounds really difficult and unfriendly. In a way, the word epic has sort of gotten washed out because it's used so much. I mean, you know, books and movies will say, you know, this is an epic. But really, the epic is a form with definite features. Traditionally, it was long narrative poetry that always has a hero. Sometimes they're an anti-hero. There's always, somewhere in the story, a descent. And also, in some way, there's divine intervention.
All this is to say, epic poetry is hardly the genre of choice for modern-day authors looking to interest young readers in a book. But Hansen's counterintuitive creation, The Epic of Clare, does something amazing. It actually makes the form current, relevant, and essential for telling his story. The story, by the way? It's about a young girl in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's set in a recent, alternate past. There's been a devastating collapse in the world economy. And in this world, oil and gas are only available to the super rich.
So early in the book, Clare finds out that her house is going to be foreclosed on from her parents. And she has this terrible nervous reaction. She falls into this panic attack. It's full-fledged vertigo. And the craziest thing happens. She gets up out of her bed and just runs out of the house. And it turns out she was a cross-country runner in high school and very successful before her father couldn't take her to school anymore. And her running actually offers her an escape from the panic. Her feet felt fleet without her running shoes. Workmen's bungalows followed each other, identical but for the stucco paint. Boys playing football games dodged around her. Cars did not sit tireless in the roadway like in post-nuclear war movies. The road, Burns Avenue, became on most weekends an extended farmer's or flea market. Neighbors spent these early June days outside. Few had employment to leave their homes for. Thus, nobody could pay for power and spend the whole day inside watching TV. The garden women, the bike cart haulers, men chopping trees down, self-deputized toughs, teenage girls strutting the catwalk all day, a grandma chasing a bantam rooster, urban rednecks erecting wind turbines, men on storm drains who preached from their black books, Hmong teens intoning jibes between maize rows and the sides of front yard volleyball courts, Latin men putting up walls of limestone, black families buying and selling their goods from sidewalks. None of them had any rush except for Clare, a winged figure free.
Eric Hansen, reading from his book, The Epic of Clare. It's a modern story written in the traditional form of epic poetry. Hansen's publisher is a company called Ilium Press. Believe it or not, Ilium Press publishes epic poems and only epic poems. John Lemon is the founder of the press. Like the rest of us, he had to read the Iliad and the Odyssey in high school, and like the rest of us, he didn't really appreciate it. It wasn't until later that he woke up to the possibilities of the form.
I guess, you know, if you took any honors classes in English in high school, you at least probably touched on parts of the Iliad or the Odyssey. And I kind of just sort of sleptwalked through it. But then about, 11 years ago, I guess, I was in a book club, and the Seamus Heaney translation of Beowulf had just come out. And the cover really knocked me out. I mean, it was one of those things where I just was really impressed with the layout. I started flipping through it, and I read a few lines. I thought, man, this looks cool. You know, I thought that would be a good pick for this guy's book club I was in. Sure enough, we read it, and every one of us liked it. So about a month later, I was at another bookstore, and I saw a box set of Robert Fagel's translation of the Iliad and the Odyssey. And I cracked the Iliad, and the first paragraph was just so powerful. And I thought, how did I overlook this, you know? The language, it was just so cinematic and so vivid that I sort of got hooked.
Here's another idea from Eric Hansen on why epic poetry may be experiencing the beginning of a renaissance.
If you read the old epics, they're a lot like the movies that are popular now, for better or for worse. I mean, when you think about Iron Man 1, 2, 3, and 4, or these comic book movies, really they have all the features of an epic. And it sounds really, really brainy, but I think it's simpler than that in the book. These archetypes that represent human passions, and again, these forces that are huge and seemingly out of our control.
Those passions and out-of-control forces have defined the human struggle ever since. And maybe the epic form has always been with us, too. After all, what's a VH1 Behind the Music episode without the classic nightmare descent into pills and booze experienced by the rock star before he finds salvation and reemerges triumphant? So to invoke a phrase from another ancient era, in this case, 1979, in Bob Fosse's movie All That Jazz, everything old is new again, and we as humans don't create, we recycle. And maybe the real talent is in knowing what to recycle in order to create something good. For The Signal, I'm Matthew Byers.
Signal contributor Matthew Byers is a middle school English teacher at St. Paul's School for Boys, and he's founder of the Baltimore Writing Lab.